Audio courtesy of Bally Sports. A wide and gold winner. Toadmaster General, a wide and gold winner.
Music to our ears, Kenny. How glorious. How glorious to not only be back into the playoffs, but to come out firing like that, 5 for 5 from the outside.
And then go cold for 17 straight.
Didn't care.
Doesn't matter.
Didn't care. Rock fight, remember? Rock fight.
Was a rock fight.
Rock fight.
I have several observations about this. You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
I wrote in the first quarter about Paulo Banchero. I said, it already looks like they will either win it with him or he will just keep them in it. That's what I wrote like early in the first quarter. I go, everything runs through a 21-year-old, which for the Orlando Magic, it's big for the future because he's 21 years old. But it's like everything's going to run through him. So I'm like, I don't think they're going to win this series. I mean, the Cavs are going to win this series. That's how I felt. But I was like, I don't think the Magic are going to win this series. But if they're going to stay in it, it's going to be because of him. Like, Wagner went away. And, yeah, Suggs kind of warmed up as the game went on. But it seemed like things were a little bit too bright for him.
He was terrible.
And Banchero was trying to keep him going as much as they could. And then by the fourth quarter, I'd written down, you were right back in the first quarter about Banchero. And that was after he hit a three. And, like, they ballooned it out to 20. Orlando made some runs back. A game of runs, a series of runs. But it was a nice performance overall because they went cold from long range. And then instead of trying to just force the issue, and they shoot a lot of threes. But instead of trying to force the issues, they threw it inside. They got work inside. Donovan on the dribble drive. A lot of guys trying to go inside, just take it to the rack because they knew they would beat him. I know you don't like to exchange the two for the threes, but Orlando really wasn't filling it up from what I saw. So I thought it was a great first game. I really did.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a way, especially with all the pressure that we talked about, not just all week. I mean, that pressure has been there since the moment they walked off the floor at the end of last year against the Knicks. They knew that the only thing that was supposed to matter for this team was going to be what they did in the playoffs. And you could not, especially against a Magic team you were favored over, you could not give up home court in game one the way they did last year to the Knicks. They could not get out tough, yeah, pushed around. They weren't going to allow that. And you saw they were going to set the tone fairly early. I mean, to the point where I saw our old friend Coach Nick was getting crushed by Cavs fans on Twitter.
Basketball breakdown?
The basketball breakdown guy, because he thought the Cavs were taking cheap shots.
I agree with the fans going after him.
Well, yeah.
I thought it was the right amount of toughness. I didn't think it was cheap. I thought you had to establish something there, and you had to establish, because I thought it was perfect where you go after Wagner and fans just honed in on him, and then they just let him have it every time he came around the ball, anytime he was near anybody. It was a signal to everybody that they needed to circle the waters and go with him. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and the Cavs, clearly, you almost wondered, and I wondered on Friday, are we going to be a little too aggressive to be physical just to show everybody, hey, just so you guys know we're physical, and then you get into a fight that you don't want to be in. But no, I didn't think that was the case at all. I think, you know, you pushed around a young team, a team that doesn't have that playoff experience. In many ways, you did to them in game one what the Knicks did to you the year before.
Yeah.
And really, they were on the brink of blowing that game wide open many times. Had they have not gone as cold, I do think Orlando turned their defense up a notch, and I do think they got their bearings a little bit. They are going to be a tough team to score on. I mean, when we scored 33 in the first, I texted a few friends. I said, is that going to be the most points in a quarter we have the rest of the series? And they're like, what are you talking about? We're crushing this team. And I'm like, it's going to be tougher. And it was. It did get tougher because Orlando settled down. But in the fourth, when you needed some buckets and you had a double-digit lead and you were worried about it getting down to single digits, all of a sudden, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, like they're your firepower, which is something the Magic we knew going into the series didn't have to match you. That's when they kind of put that game away.
Yeah, I have to agree with just about everything you said. So it's hard to have a big knockdown drag out here. I did think about that series with the Knicks last year because I mentioned this to you a couple of times, and it wasn't like you didn't mention it. It was, I go back to when I really learned about playoff basketball the first time with LeBron. And, you know, I mean, I'm a kid then, and I don't realize how it takes a couple of stabs at it to finally start to break through. You got to run up against the wall a couple of times. And it did make me think of last year and how I became very emotional, very upset, the laughing that was done. But there's also a natural, like, hey, you kind of got to take steps to this. And it seems like the Cavs have paid their due to some certain degree where the Magic haven't yet. Now, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, I don't know what Orlando Sports Talk Radio is. If there is, I'm no offense, I don't know. But I'm sure that they'd be sitting there today go, well, it's game one and we learned this. But I'm looking at the Cavs going, all right, this was experience. This was trying to go after people. This was a year of everybody calling you soft, and I think that they took care of their business the way they were supposed to. I was relieved, obviously, yeah, but I was happy with the way that they played, and it gave me a lot of heart for the rest of this series.
Well, the critical part of this, and I was I'll be honest, I was very worried, not about the series. I had the Cavs winning the series. I don't know if we gave official predictions ever on Friday, but you know, I was kind of telling people I said they'll probably win in five, but it'll be, you know, really hard-fought games. And really, you know, coast to coast, that was a pretty lopsided game. Just the Cavs got off to that great start. I know they got it down to four, but it never really felt that way. It never really felt like, uh-oh, this is going to be a moment where we relinquish all the goodwill that we built up throughout the course of the game.
Did you feel the crowd felt that it was going to turn at all? I didn't. I was paying attention to the broadcast and watching in the office and thinking, I was trying to listen to the crowd and see whether or not they were starting to get tight or going to start booing. I didn't hear any of the boos, obviously. I mean, you were up by 20 at one point, for crying out loud,
yeah,
so there's not
the
a real
boo?
Reason to boo. But when it got down to four, and I'm wondering, because there is a history there, and you can say what you want to, but with JB, like, there's a history of these huge leads evaporating, and then you're kind of left scrambling. And I felt the same way you did. I did not feel that there was a pensiveness like the way there has been in years past.
Let's be fair, too. We got to change the way we watch the playoffs from the regular season. Like we saw in the regular season, you know, how many 20-point games, Cavs been a part of those, how many 20-point games were those leads just completely erased and then people take it out on the coaches? It's like, well, you're watching the NBA this year, it's actually happening quite a bit, especially with the three-point shooting. And teams do obviously take the foot off the gas. Well, you see some of that in the playoffs, too. Teams get the huge lead. I mean, the Clippers were up like 30 at one point over Kyrie and Luka. And then, of course, eventually those guys got going and the lead got down to, I think, like 13. That doesn't mean you're doing anything bad or you're taking your foot off the gas. It's just it's a basketball game. There are going to be runs. And so I never thought we were just going to blow it wide open and then be up 30 the entire game against the Magic. The Magic's defense, you knew, would make some adjustments. They made some. I will talk later today about some of the adjustments I think we're going to see and how we can throw the counterpunch. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled, Kenny, that they got off to that 5-of-5 from three-point range. Really felt, and I don't know if you thought this, but I thought for the fans that were there, that were pumped up, that have been looking forward to this, you knew it would just take a little struggle early on for those guys potentially to be shell-shocked and for the air to be taken out of the building, and it never happened. That lead and that hot shooting to start out the game and as dialed in defensively as they were, and it was an exquisite game plan defensively by JB and the Cavs. It was so gigantic for, I think, their morale and to make sure that they were going to say, we're the team that has had the playoff experience. We're the veterans now. We are going to give them a welcome to the playoffs moment. The lights are going to be too bright for them. And I think that was the case across the board.
I would agree with that. 216-474-0092. So you had an interesting question for everybody here. You go right on ahead.
Yeah, I wonder.
You go right on ahead. This is going to be good.
I didn't see it online, so I'm sure they're coming at some point. Maybe it'll be after today, after tonight, if they take care of business like they should at home and they take a commanding 2-0 lead over the series and they go back to Orlando with the Magic and their proverbial tails between their leg. So maybe it's not coming yet, and it'll come after today. But I expected to start to see some apologies for the Cleveland fans, the so-called Cleveland fans, who I said were taking for granted the playoffs. All of a sudden, it's supposed to just be easy to make the playoffs, especially after LeBron. Oh, we're supposed to make playoffs every year. Okay. Where were the apologies from the fans that had to act like Game 82 was one of the worst crimes in Cleveland sports history? Where were the apologies? I didn't see them. I didn't see them in my inbox. And
Did you want me to apologize to you?
If you would like to.
Even though you forced me to do it, you didn't. I mean, I was not planning on getting upset on Monday, and then you got it out of me because that's what you do. But I did not plan on being upset with anything. You ended up getting me upset because...
And then
all of a sudden it became I'm rooting against the Cavs in the playoffs, which is never true.
Was this worth all that consternation after game 82, in which clearly we were trying to keep guys healthy. Hey, that seemed to be a pretty smart. That seemed to be a pretty smart mentality going into that game.
It was worth all the consternation. It was worth all the anger. It was worth all the bitterness. It wasn't worth it. Why wasn't it worth it?
Because the guy who sits there and goes, game 82, and the goal was to get guys healthy for the playoffs. And what do you know? They're healthy, and they had a dominant performance over the Magic when Donovan Mitchell was healthy. What do you know? Darius Garland. Oh, what do you know? Everyone looked healthy, and they rolled the hell out of the Orlando Magic.
In the fourth quarter?
Funny that would happen. Amazing that they would think that would happen.
Whoa. In the fourth quarter. And by the way, that wasn't their overall goal. I mean, they basically – and you go back, Max Strus, you want an apology for Max Strus, who was as upset as anybody out there? Because that's what kind of did it, was that a player himself was upset over this entire ordeal. Do you want an apology from the Strus Moose?
He's a competitor. I'm sure he didn't love that.
Yeah, make an excuse any way you possibly
can. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We were the only fan base that was upset that way after plenty of teams were sitting guys. And the team that didn't, the Knicks, got crushed by their fans for playing guys too many minutes in game 82.
I can't explain anything to Jerry Ferrara.
Never has game 82 meant this much. Never has it meant this much to anybody like it did here in Cleveland, which was so bizarre when all we were talking about all year were the playoffs.
Because you were the team that was under 500 in the second half of the season. After starting out so well, you were the team that did so wonderfully in the month of January, and then it just basically evaporates after the All-Star break. Like, that's part of that consternation that went in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously there's an overreaction to all this.
Wait, can you tell me, Ken? Refresh my memory. What happened in that second half of the year after the All-Star break that led to them being below 500.
Donovan Mitchell got hurt.
Oh, that's right. They didn't have their best player, and they weren't on the floor together. That's right. I knew something had happened that was responsible for them going four games below 500 after the All-Star break. I couldn't put my finger on it, but thanks to you saying that, now I remember we got everybody back healthy, and we rolled the hell out of the Orlando Magic in the playoffs. That's what it's all about. Who is playing chess and who is playing checkers here?
I don't think fans need to apologize for anything.
You don't have to. I mean,
I don't think fans need to apologize.
You don't have
anything
to swallow your pride if you don't want. I mean, that's okay.
What?
I don't know.
There's a pride swallowing.
Just didn't feel like it playoff town this week. It really didn't. And then an hour before tip off, I got people texting me and going, "This is what your co-host did. Place was empty.
That's ridiculous."
An hour before tip off,
tell whoever texted you to kiss my ass.
I had a lot of people tweet me going, "You gonna let Ken have it?" I'm like, "Well,
yeah, let me have it. I wanted him to lose.
He's supposed to be on our side. I think he's rooting for the Cavs to win.
There is no sides here. Everybody wants the Cavs to win. I wanted the Cavs to win.
I agree.
No, you're not gonna do this.
I told him that was unfair
to me at the beginning of the show.
I told him I know. In his heart of hearts, my co-host was going to be pulling for the Cavs.
I was pulling for the Cavs the whole week. There was no secret pulling for the Cavs.
For whatever reason, fans listened to you all week and said it sounded like you were rooting for the downfall of the team.
Because on Friday, I begged them.
I begged them
to call in and get excited, and they didn't do it. So don't even start that.
And then
I gave them every chance they could.
And I told them that, and they were like, Ken was being facetious. He didn't really get all that excited about it. I said, well, that's ridiculous. I've known my co-host for many years. He would never act like that.
Yeah, I'm acting like what? Like I was excited? I was upset?
They want to know where the rah-rah was. Pep rally, they said, hey, if it were the Browns, Ken would have been doing flips in the studio. And I said, you know what? I said that on Monday and I apologize to Ken. I shouldn't have compared the two situations.
You shouldn't have. 216-474-0092.
But you can if you want to apologize.
Did the negative fans over the Cavs an apology? I'm not apologizing for anything.
Well, I know you're not. I don't think you have any reason to. I think you were adequately excited by like Friday after the show. I sense
was excited
it. There was
Friday
a pep
morning.
In your, when we walked out of the studio on Friday, I was like, I think we did a pretty good show. I know I was pretty excited about the Cavs. And then I saw a pep in your step. I'm like, all right, Ken's got it. I mean, it took all week, but Ken's now excited. He's not going to let a game against the Hornets, you know, in game 82 keep him down. So I was excited to see that from you. After the show.
It was before that show on Friday. It was before it. Now, you could sit there and do your revisionist history all you want, but it was before it.
How much Michael Stanley did we really play on Friday?
We only played it one time. That's because Kevin Stefanski asked for it. That was it.
That we had to have the football coach get us pumped up for the Cavs.
Yeah, and you're the one who always wants to turn Browns fans on Cavs fans when they're the same fans with a football coach.
Were they?
Who has a basketball background was the one who wanted to play the Michael Stanley.
Didn't seem like it last
week. Yeah, but the Browns are just the scourge of everything to the people who are bigger basketball and baseball fans than football.
I think it takes the Browns coach, who maybe has the greatest quote of all time in those situations.
Setbacks paved the way for comebacks.
It was a comeback a year in the making. Hey, maybe everyone's on board today. Maybe it'll be a different story. Maybe we'll get a bunch of Michael Stanley today.
Is there another quote we have to have from maybe Paul Dolan about Josh Naylor coming up at around 720? 216-474-0092.
Don't go there.
Do the negative fans owe the Cavs an apology? It's been one game, but it was a hell of a game over the Orlando Magic.
Awesome,
Ken Carman, Anthony Lima, and the curious case to Evan Mobley, where some people are saying it was an escape act yesterday on Saturday afternoon. Ken Carman, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app. Apparently people owe the Cavs an apology, according to Tone.
I guess you don't have to physically apologize.
Were they supposed to sign a letter to him?
I thought it would make you
feel...
From
the desk of the fans?
I think the weight is going to be on that, especially if the Cavs just roll in the series and win in four. I think then some fans will feel pretty stupid about how they felt last week.
Wait a minute. What was the overall goal? Is the overall goal just to win this series? And were people questioning whether or not they'd win this series? Because I think it's just the overall goal. You're moving your own goalposts at times. And they had a great game on Saturday. I don't want to kind of keep thinking the game was on Sunday. Game on Saturday.
Is every playoff run from every Cleveland sports team since our station has been on the air, have we just said, they didn't win the championship? Waste of a year.
No.
Is that all we do? So
no.
Why are we doing it with this team?
Because I think that
this team's never won a playoff
because
series.
There's you know damn well there's so much added angst to it because of the future of the head coach. I do think some of it's the future of the senior vice president of basketball operations or whatever the hell you want to call him. Donovan Mitchell, obviously. Evan Mobley, where he's at in his maturation. I want to get to him here in a moment. That's why I think that there's some of that angst. And I don't think it was just game 82 as you made it out to be. I think there was the West Coast trip, the stuttering there, the problems that happened before that. Injuries, yes, injuries are part of it. Absolutely. You're not wrong about that.
Weren't injuries the whole thing? It wasn't part of it. It was the whole thing. They didn't have their team. How many minutes did the starting five of the Cavs have the entire year? And now they're healthy. Now the Cavs are as healthy as they've been, and they dominated. What do you know? Imagine that.
Yeah, did you see Darius Garland's back?
Well, he's banged
up. It didn't look too very healthy there, buddy.
He's banged, but it's the playoffs. Like, look,
I
would you rather be Kawhi Leonard, who can't play? Joel Embiid, I mean, I don't know how he finished the game the other day. Not to mention Giannis didn't play. Like, this type of the season, if you're on the floor.
Yeah, but there was a couple times, like, Darius Garland, like, you could tell, like, he, like, bent over. And there were a couple times, like, going down the floor, he looked like an old man trying to get out of bed. I was like, man, that's starting to bother him. We got to get to the end of this game and get him some icy hot and get him going. I don't know.
But then, as the Magic were trying to make their run, he looked like vintage Darius Garland. And he didn't play a great game. And by the way, I don't think
anybody was bad, though. I don't think we can have it out a little bit later on about George Niang if you really want to. I didn't think anybody was too terrible. Like, you look at the plus minus, which isn't the only thing to look at. That might be seen as an excuse, but I didn't think anybody was like, oh my God, this guy is awful. Isaac Okoro played with energy, really tried to get into it with people. God, he got kicked in the face or kneed in the face.
Yes,
and then they
did.
Called the foul on him.
Second time
which
it's
was
happened.
Something.
Second that's time a, it's happened.
That's
this
incredible.
Year.
The guy's bloodied. And they're like, by the way, the foul's on you.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for all that. Like, I thought there was a lot of high energy and a lot of asserting dominance in that game. And I think a lot of Cavs fans came away with some heart on that. But I don't think that there's an apology that is needed or anything like that because it's still the first game and you got to be able to hold serve. Now, if you win tonight, I think a lot of people are going to be feeling great. I think they're going to be feeling great and already looking forward to the Boston Celtics if they win tonight.
Yeah, well, especially if Donovan Mitchell looks like he looked that game. I mean, now the last two times we've seen Donovan, he's looked like normal Donovan, and I was really worried about it. I was really worried for all my optimism going into the series. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, one tweak of the knee, one kind of falling down the wrong way, being off balance, like, yeah, it would get me nervous, but I didn't see any of that. I saw a guy that was poised, was confident right from the get-go, and regardless of what you think about the future of Donovan Mitchell. And we don't know. Nobody knows. This is the beauty of what Donovan has done all year and the last 2 years. He's been able to compartmentalize, you know, making sure to do the best he can with this team, take him as far as he can help take him, but at the same time giving you nothing when it comes to what his next move is going to be. I don't know if one series is going to be enough. I don't know if it's going to have to be competitive in another series against Boston. I have no idea. But what I know is during that game, during those 48 minutes, he seemed like he was pretty pumped to be a Cleveland Cavalier and helping them get over the hump. And they, remember, that hump is there. You could say that this whole thing is about getting further, than one series or whatever. But it looked like he was pretty pumped about having the chance to take care of the Orlando Magic and get to the next series.
I would agree with that.
In a Cleveland Cavalier uniform.
216-474-0092. I was given a lot more heart by this game just because, you know, I did. I feared for a moment that, man, if they come out here and they are lackadaisical, if they are not in their right mind to this, I did think that Orlando would try to do something physical with them to try to make this that quote-unquote rock fight that everybody keeps talking about to the point where it's become kind of an overused term, I'd say. I think the Cavs answered right back. You know, I know that you brought up that basketball breakdown. What was it?
He thought the Cavs. Yeah, he thought the Cavs were the cheap shot artists in game one.
Guys, you had to make it chippy.
Oh, by the way, if you were fans, do you care? Do you care?
No.
I think a lot of fans wanted the Cavs to go out there and be the aggressors and be physical and be chippy.
I said to somebody, I didn't need them to go back and start swinging Hail Marys at people. Like, I didn't need them to start socking people and throwing haymakers. But I did need a level of aggressiveness there to throw elbows, to push and shove, to be tough, to be aggressive, to not get pushed around, especially after what happened. What made me so happy was I know that Jared Allen has downplayed it this entire season. I know they've kind of, in their own way, tried to downplay it the entire season. There's not a doubt in my mind that last year and that overarching theme from the fans of you guys got pushed around, you got embarrassed by the Knicks. They're one of the most annoying fan bases in professional sports because it's a New York sports fan, Knicks, Yankees, Giants, where they're just going to take everything. They're going to run like crazy with it. And that's what made it worse is that we had New York fans calling in. It got very ugly here in Cleveland, and it seemed like you didn't want to do anything about it. Orlando's fan base obviously isn't what the New York Knicks fan base is. But to hear that for a year and then be ready for the actual physical struggle of it, I think meant a lot to Cavs fans there. That you had guys willing to mix it up. You had guys that weren't going to take any crap from anybody. You had guys willing to step in there. Isaac Okoro jumping right in there and getting ready to push people around if he had to because of the Darius Garland play. Like those type of things, that means a lot to a fan base. And that means a lot to a Midwest fan base. So you had to have that on Saturday. I thought that was every bit as important as scoring the points and leading the game by up to 20 at some point and putting them away by 14. That sends a message that things are going to be different. You can't turtle up now, but things are going to be different for the entire series. That last year was not this. We've learned our lesson. You still need to learn yours, and we're going to treat you as such.
Yeah, and I did resent a little bit of the talk about, hey, it's got to be steps. You got to take a step here. You got to take a step here in the playoffs. I mean, Minnesota Timberwolves are not worried about any steps. Like, they're trying to make the leap, and they're trying to do it.
That was a hell of a beating on Saturday. Oh, my God. Lord almighty, I stayed around and watched that game, too. My God.
What they did to Devin Booker, and they don't want to hear about steps. So I get, guys, I understand. As much as I'm asking for apologies, I know are never going to happen from Cavs fans.
Nope.
I do understand, like, if the Cavs just win this series and look great and then look awful against the Celtics and get humiliated, I get that nobody's going to be that thrilled about one playoff series. Whether the Cavs organization is, boy, that's a discussion in the offseason that we can certainly have. The good news
but
is
it opens your mind.
We're putting off the offseason. Every win here, we're putting off the offseason.
What it does, it opens your mind. Like, I don't have... I want them to go as far as they can, but I'm not being grandiose here and being unrealistic about what this team's going to accomplish this year. I do think, even though Donovan Mitchell looked good, I still think that there's guys who are banged up, including him. I know he looked a lot better on Saturday, but I do think that there's going to be a need for some treatment during the offseason with him. With Darius Garland, obviously, I think that that's something to monitor because he is slight. I think that a lot of guys are battling through it there. I mean, you are missing still Dean Wade on this. So there's a lot of questions that you might have in the offseason here and reasons why. Not excuses, reasons why you didn't go as far. But I think a good series here and then a good showing against, I would imagine, the Celtics, but it was only the first game and the Heat are a veteran-laden team. You have a good showing there, I think calms a lot of people down. 216-474-0092, 7:45 this morning. The Browns could be headed to London. It's all part of Lima Likes at 7:45. Up next, I don't think they're against us. I just think it highlights what each broadcast is trying to sell us. And the curious case of George Niang and his game. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the I'm going to ask you about George Niang and Evan Mobley coming up here in a moment. 216-474-0092. Did you think the broadcast, which broadcast did you watch? You watched local or national?
I watched mostly the national.
All right, I watched all national. I watched national broadcast on purpose. There was obviously a very specific reason why is that I wanted to see. I'm looking for angles of where's the disrespect coming? There were some people who were upset. Who was the person with Beth Mowins? There was Angel Gray on the sideline. And
you know
she
what?
Used to be here, obviously, doing Cavs games.
I can't remember
who
her name.
Who was the person? They were saying the analyst with her was like pro-Orlando. And I know that a lot of fan bases here, and usually you and I are on the same page about this type of thing, is that I think they're looking for big games. I think they're looking for big moments.
Stephanie White.
Okay, so I think that, did she ever work for the Orlando Magic in any capacity whatsoever? Because there were people who were upset because they felt that the broadcast was decidedly pro-Orlando. And I just did not think it that way. I think you're going to see it. Well, you always see it through a fan's lens, so anybody who isn't your people are going to be upset. But I think what this does, there was one point where I became very annoyed, but that was actually before the game, and I'll explain that here in a moment. What I think it does is it shows you just what each broadcast is selling. The Cavs broadcast on Bally is selling you Cavs basketball. It's 2.5 hours of sales. 3 hours when you include the pre and post. It's a 3-hour sales pitch. And I got no problem with it. Buy tickets. Come see the basketball game, which, by the way, I got to tell you about my cousin who went there later on in the show. Because, again, you can say what you want to about the product on the court, but the fan engagement is fantastic over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. They're selling you Cavs basketball, just like the Guardians are selling you Guardians baseball. The NFL is obviously different, but if you listen to the radio calls, there's plenty of things that are going on to sell you Browns football. And I think that so many people, especially with basketball and baseball, and because it's on TV, you watch that broadcast every day, with the exception of just a handful, especially baseball, you might have two other national broadcasts that are not Bally's. So you're seeing that, and so you get used to the people feeling your way. That you're upset because you got a bad call. They're upset because you got a bad call. Let's be upset together. Where the national ESPN broadcast, and I'm not explaining any of this to you, obviously you're going to kind of draw it down more the line about some of this stuff. I was upset with maybe two calls in that game, but I wasn't upset enough to actually remember them here on a Monday morning. I thought that the game was pretty fair officiated. I think that some people were upset that they didn't see it that way. The only time I was upset was right before the game, and I almost went, all right, that's enough of this. I'm just going to go over to Bally. I didn't. Was when Kendrick Perkins was, I'm getting excited for this game. I'm home. I went to the Akron practice beforehand, bring the kids home, the whole thing, in my office, ready for it. It's 12:45, getting ready to go. And then Kendrick Perkins like, well, I got to be paying attention to Donovan Mitchell here because, well, a lot of people say, quote, it was foot out the door, or a lot of people think he already has a foot out the door. I'm going, well, here we are. This is going to be the, and I know that that's a storyline, but I'm like, man, I got to be reminded of this stuff right before the game's
that's
about to start here.
That's not the storyline at halftime of the first playoff game of the entire playoffs.
Like, damn, man.
Like, can we at least get to game two before we start on that?
Like, if they were to lose, I think there would be something there, and it would be one of the things you pay attention to. Like, is this, and if they lose in the second round against Boston, which I know I'm just putting Boston there. Like, yes, obviously it'll be something said. Like when LeBron walked off the floor in 2010 against Boston and, is this the last time? Like, I remember Mike Breen saying that, and that was annoying then. But that was the only time that I felt like, you really needed to do that, Kendrick. You really needed to do that. But everything else was, I thought it was fair. I thought it was fine.
Obviously, it's two women calling a men's basketball game. I think a lot of guys are going to be out to start out. We could call a spade on that, right? Like, they, especially if they don't know them. Beth Mowins has called Browns games before now. She's
saying over the last 3 weeks we've been talking about Caitlin Clark, and somebody always gets in and tells us to knock it off. Yeah,
right.
Probably there's a lot of guys,
right,
who are
like
out.
I'm not going to act surprised at the fact that would be going down. I mean, without a doubt, they're especially if it's not Doris Burke. Like, Doris Burke is the one, right, that is pierced through. And I, even though she gets plenty of criticism too, just like every announcer gets plenty of criticism, when you get to this level, when people are watching their teams in the playoffs, you know, they're very few. I remember people used to hate Hubie Brown calling the Wizards-Cavs first-round series. He's totally in the tank for the Wizards. It's like, no, he's not. Hubie Brown doesn't care. He doesn't care who wins. He legitimately wants a close basketball game until the end.
Yeah.
So I drown out a lot of those complaints. But two women, especially two women a lot of you haven't heard of, you're turning the channel. You just are. We've come to a certain point where we're finally accepting of, like, hey, Caitlin Clark is getting all the endorsements. But women should stick to women's basketball, or when it comes to calling the games. I saw a lot of that. Saw a lot of those opinions. I mean, you're just not used to hearing women on big games. You're just not. Jessica Mendoza for baseball every day gets criticized by
men. Which I don't know why. It's been like 4 years. I basically have moved on.
I feel
on.
Like she's been calling games for a decade.
Probably.
It's been a long time.
Probably. So it's, I mean, it's been a while. So I thought basically everybody would move on, but yeah. Still there's some people who are upset. It's the same thing when you brought up, like I see some obvious, you know, I love Doris Burke. I mean, it's been pretty well documented. I still see it, but I kind of accept the criticism and I'm kind of like, all right, like at least it's legitimate. Like people say the same things about her that they would about Mike Breen or that they would about a lot of others. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it's still a little bit more because she is a female, but yeah, I think that there's an acceptance there that, hey, she's a lead analyst. She can do play by play. There's a lot of things about the game of basketball. She's just one of the people that are dominant in the sport.
Yeah. And you know, nothing really stood out with me about that Stephanie White. She's just,
I thought she did a fine job.
Candace Parker was on the game. I think Candace Parker's a little more outspoken.
So I think
she would be better. Chinny at ESPN, they've made her into a star.
Very
She's
outspoken.
On studio yes. shows. Monica McNutt is somebody you see everywhere. So maybe had they have been doing the game, there would have been a little less criticism.
But I didn't think she was unfair to the Cavs. No. I didn't think that any of the broadcasters were unfair to the Cavs. Obviously, Angel Gray, I don't think that she'd be unfair to the Cavs.
I love the way, and there were a lot of free throws in that game, but I love the way that they will allow a lot more contact, whether it's off the ball. You know, it does get into a little bit of a wrestling match that you have to kind of put up with. You have to, as an offensive player, you have to expect more contact. You can't just bitch to the refs. Mm-hmm. I actually think Orlando was doing way too much bitching to the refs to start out that game. Like, they were not ready for how the playoffs are officiated,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we saw kind of a precursor after the All-Star break. They were allowing more contact. Playoffs are another level. I mean, you really, unless your arm is knocked off its course when you're trying to shoot a basketball, they're going to let a lot of contact go.
I want to hear, were you concerned at all about Mobley in the second half?
No, I wasn't concerned.
Because I didn't have any concern. Like, I felt that he did exactly what he's supposed to do. But I
think
also
Orlando made some adjustments, so they weren't going to put their 6-1 guard on him off switches.
6-2, give him a little bit of credit. Yeah. Yeah, give him a little bit of credit. Like, I'm like, man, he's not going to go. There was like two times in like three sequences where he went on 6-2, and it was just not going to be the right matchup there. Who was it, Anthony, that he went up against? Cole yeah. Anthony? Yeah. So you find yourself at 7 feet over 6'2", like, yeah, there's going to be a problem there. And I felt that they made some adjustments there in the second half to
Look,
try to take
was,
him away and try
key,
to...
Kenny, the key was Evan Mobley came out and he did not hesitate. He didn't take the slow motion three to start out the game. They were totally disrespecting him, as every team will, by the way. Every team we go up against in the playoffs, if it's Boston next round, they're not going to guard him at the three-point line until he's somebody who will take 10 in a game and make five. They're not going to guard Evan Mobley out on the perimeter. It's probably smarter defense to do it. And he came out and he hit those first two, and it got that crowd ignited. It's been a storyline all year. I went back and looked at a video I posted after like the third game of the year where I'm like, why isn't he taking threes? Jason Lloyd wrote the article.
Yeah.
And then we had him on. And at that point I was just like, well, he's just not there yet. He's 21 years old. He's not going to be ready to do that yet. But in the playoffs, he was ready. And I think that made a difference. That opened up some spacing for him.
I thought it was a fine game. I mean, I know he hit the spin on one of those plays early. And yeah, I know that they took him away from the Cavs in the second half because they know they're not going to be able to take Donovan Mitchell away. And if they're going to be able to chip away from a 12-point lead, you're going to have to try to focus on somebody. And you could try to do it on Donovan Mitchell, but then you got other guys who are going to kill you, and you don't want Evan Mobley to kill you. If you're going to lose, you'd rather Donovan Mitchell be the one to kill you. So I felt that they would take somebody away. He's still very inexperienced when it comes to this. So you're going to take your pick. You're not going to be able to take away Jared Allen, who was sensational, by the way, on Saturday. You were going to take away Evan Mobley, but I thought Evan did a fine job. 216-474-0092. All right. I'll hear from you guys. We want to hear from you guys over the next hour, obviously, because there's a big question here that it was the best thing about the game other than the win. You guys had to be feeling the same way I did about this. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lama, take us with you to work on that free Odyssey app.